at stage authenticity. We have a lot of these domestic versions of this stuff happening right now. That's neocolonialism. I mean, to a degree, Black America and even poor America, if you want to phrase it that way, because there's class components to this too. Because you see a lot of hipsters with the trucker hats and trying to, you know, appropriate a working class aesthetic as well. You're seeing a lot of people who are basically coming in like colonizers, who are, some of them are interacting with the locals and interacting with the neighborhood as tourists. Like, okay, I'm moving to Crown Heights, a traditionally Jamaican neighborhood, but I'm only going to go to the Starbucks, or I'm not going to any of the local businesses. You know, that's a little too real for me. I want to come here and just be like the ugly American. I treat the locals and the natives to this neighborhood as if they're invisible. I don't go to their businesses. I don't acknowledge them in the street unless it's to call the cops on them. I just expect everything to be catered toward me. If it's not catered toward me, then it doesn't really count. You know, it's just backwards and primitive and provincial. You know, I want to go to the Starbucks. I want to go to the Duane Reade. I want to just have a middle-class white experience in this traditionally Black neighborhood, right? That's a tourist. Then you have some people who come to these areas as travelers, like, oh man, I live in Crown Heights now. What's the most authentic Jamaican food I can find here? Where do all the locals go? Oh wait, this place has a screen door in the front? Oh, I'm going there. That's like the real thing. Wait, how spicy can you make it? Make it as spicy as you can. I want it as spicy as the Jamaican food that Jamaicans eat. I want it too spicy for a Jamaican. Like, or I'm going to the Chinese restaurant, but I don't want to eat what's on the menu for the American people. Give me what the staff is eating over there. You know, I want to eat that, and don't tone it down for me, you know? So this same dynamic happens globally, is happening domestically, and similarly, sexually, I think that same thing is happening. You have some people who move into these neighborhoods, and for whatever reason, they want to get their interracial dating on. Now, all these dynamics that I discussed, whether domestic or abroad, whether modern day or old colonialism, whether neocolonialism in the form of gentrification, whatever, all of this exists mainly because we're under a system of white supremacy. And that's important for me to repeat. I'm not saying that every relationship between the races, professional, personal, romantic, friendship, platonic, any of it, has to be this way under an ideal world. It's just that under a system of white supremacy, these dynamics just keep resurging in refined forms. So, back to this example. You have some people who move into these neighborhoods and they want to interracially date, and some of them are domestic sex tourists. And what I mean by that is they're like, hey, I'm here. I might as well expand my dating and try to date a Black guy or a Black woman, but they don't, because they're tourists, they don't want the person, you know, too ethnic, too, you know, they want someone that is a very quote unquote watered down version of the stereotypes. Just like when when the tourist travels to Mexico, the kind of food that he wants there is like, just like two notches above Taco Bell. Like, you know, he doesn't really want like cow tongue and And a lot of the more adventurous aspects of Mexican cuisine. And back to gentrification and interracial dating, you have some people are the same way, like, hey, I would love to date a black guy, but I don't want a black guy with who comes with a little, you know, too much, I don't want him too spicy. You know, I don't want him to come with too much baggage. So, you know, the black guy will be like somebody who probably has a lot of bourgeois trappings, who looks at sites like stuff white people like and agrees with like 80% of it. You know, like someone who's very low in the culture shock theme. And you see that a lot with a lot of these bro-ish type or pumpkin spice latte type people gentrifying now. Like, you know, they'll come into these neighborhoods, and if they interracially date, they want to do it in like some kind of fake post-racial way. Like, you know, like, oh, I don't even see race. You know, my boyfriend or girlfriend just happens to be black, you know, but, you know, we do geek things together. We listen to the same music. We go to the same shows, you know. Okay. Now, the traveler types, which I think is what this guy was meeting and interacting with in his relationships, the traveler type of domestic sex tourist in the gentrification world, that person wants to use this time to do kind of like cultural self-education, you know. So they want to date a black person, but they want the black person to like maybe be woke, you know, so knows a lot about like black history or is into protesting or is into, you know, social justice, and will teach them about how they can check their own privilege or explain blackness to them, or, you know, like that's what they want. They want to feel like they're going on an adventure of learning or something. Or they might want to, because I see this sometimes, I see some people will date a black guy and the person will be, you know, a progressive, middle class, kind of bourgeois bohemian type, but they'll be dating like a dude who's kind of street, you know, like a real dude. And you're like, how did those two hook up? Like, how did that even happen? And a lot of times that person will think, oh, wow, this person is really giving me a gateway into authentic black life, which is helping me become a better, more complete, more well-rounded, holistic person. You know, this person has a certain type of soul, empathy to them, has a certain type of different experience, and we can get together and, you know, have an exchange of ideas. Like, even though this person is basically American, their family's been in America for God knows how long, but, you know, you still kind of look at them as kind of like an exotic foreigner. And I think that's where this guy's problem is. He doesn't really understand what he's dealing with, so he's choosing wrongly. And I'm saying that dynamic, some people like it. And that's where the stage authenticity comes from. You get a lot of, if you ever see like a lot of these women who have natural hair and dress kind of Afrocentrically, like who look like, you know, Erykah Badu in the 90s and have what looks like a stereotypically Afrocentric look. But they only or mainly date white guys. That's a perfect example of like stage authenticity. They're like, okay, I could tell the type of white guy that I want. I want like a enlightened, progressive, bourgeois bohemian, hipsterish, woke bay type of white guy. I know this type of white guy is not going to want a black girl that is basically just a watered down white girl. Like he's not going to want the black girl who has straight hair, talks like a valley girl, has green contacts, and is trying to look like a white girl. Like, she realizes, you know what, I will always be a second class white girl. But if I play up my exoticness, if I play up, like, the one thing I can do that a white girl can't do is be the most authentic black girl I can be. So then you get a lot of these people who get natural hair, you know, will put septum and nose rings because they figure that's something that looks very black and exotic to white people. And, you know, and will dress in this kind of pseudo-African attire or whatever and get into black issues, wear Black Lives Matter t-shirts, always talk about blackness. But they're doing it as a form of stage authenticity to attract white people.